When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome back to Alyssa Explains It All. I am in a state today. And I know this for a fact because I have tried to record this podcast like three times and have it be a little more like succinct and organized. And babe, it's not happening. And I will tell you exactly why. So if you don't know, I live at home. I live with my parents. When I came back from LA, like around the time that I filmed the show, first of all, going to LA during the pandemic crushed me financially. So I knew when I came back, it was going to take me some time to be able to like financially recover and get on my feet. And then once I did, I was just kind of like, I don't really want to move back to New York City. It just felt really, really expensive. I've lived in New York City for a long time. And I just was like, I think I actually am kind of done. I don't think I want to do it anymore. So that was that. And so now I live here in Westchester County. I live with my parents and I'm recording this on Easter Sunday. And Easter every year is a day that really I don't enjoy. I didn't enjoy it when I was a kid because I hated having to wear like springy dresses and it was always way too cold the time that Easter was here. So that was my issue as a kid. As an adult, I live in a house with very religious parents and I am not religious. And so around this time of the year, they're engaged with their religion all year round, but especially Easter time because it's a very important time of year for them as Catholics. So I already had a little spat with my mom this morning and I've tried to record this podcast a few times and I just feel so frustrated still. I just think the way that I was going to do it is not going to happen. A really good example of the frustration is I also just painted my nails, fully painted them, top coat was on, and then my dog who's sitting outside started barking. And I went to go bring her in and she decided she actually didn't want to come in. And I had unhooked her from her little lead only for her to decide again, she didn't want to come in and I ruined my nails in the process. So it's one of those days. And yeah, today I kind of just want to give you a little bit of like a brain dump, because I think that's really the only thing that I'm capable of. And I think sometimes it's helpful to just like hear that we're not alone on things, right? So that's where I think I'm at. And I hope that that's okay. I know, you know, when I started this podcast, I had high hopes of being like the next Sex with Emily or bringing back the old Call Her Daddy. And the truth of that is, if that were my only project, like if the podcast were the only thing that I was working on, that might be doable. But booking guests is really time consuming. You're dealing, especially when you're dealing with people who have like busy schedules, not me, I mean the other people. It's one of those things where like until you're doing it, you don't realize how much really goes into planning a show like that. And so I still like aspirationally, that would be really great. And I would love to have the opportunity to like to have a show where I'm talking really explicitly about sex. And, you know, obviously in the time that I've done this podcast, I haven't fully achieved that. So today we are going into brain dump mode. I just want to talk about what's going on because I think it's helpful sometimes to hear how chaotic everyone's lives everyone's lives are. So I'm going to start with, I guess, all the things that are going on so that, I mean, I think that there's things that people don't know that I've been working on. So I think this is a good time for me to like get into that. Also, maybe some of you can commiserate with just having too many projects and too many things and spreading yourself way too thin. Okay. Okay. So we have Alyssa Explains It All, which is every other week. It used to be every week. And honestly, I could not handle every week. It got to be like just not possible for me to have that many recordings ready, and especially wanting to have guests and stuff. That was just not, it was just not possible. I wish that there were double the amount of time in a day, or that I had money to hire somebody to do everything, you know. And I have producer Matt, and he does literally everything possible to make it so that I just like show up, which is amazing. But like, I wish I had somebody to book guests too. That would help a lot. Actually, you know what? If I'm being totally honest, I think I would need someone who was going to book guests and also tell me what my topic was going to be. That's the level of brain that I have at this time. I'm like, no, you need to do pretty much this whole thing, because I can't. It's just so time consuming. And I love it. I love it so much, especially like when I finally can actually sit down and do it. I fucking love it. But it's just, you know, anyway. So we have this podcast. We also have YAOK, which is another podcast where we talk about books, specifically YA authors. And that podcast is so much fun. Like, we have absolute chaos vibes every single episode, no matter what we do, what the topic is, who the guest is. Like, it is just hot mess chaos in the best way possible. So if that sounds like something you might be interested in, I highly recommend joining us on YAOK. Oh, I gotta tell you, I'm doing black with chrome on top and it looks terrible. Like, I don't know how I'm doing this. This is just not looking right. And I don't know if it's the black. I don't know if it's the chrome. Maybe I'll try and do two layers. I really wanted like chrome silver nails, but whatever. We're gonna run with it because I can't be bothered. Anyway, okay. So we have Alyssa Explains It All. We have YAOK. We have, I do a live show now every single Tuesday, and it's called Chewed Gum, which if that name makes no sense to you, you are not alone. The name actually comes from something that people in like purity culture will say. Like, it's a way to describe to young people why you should keep your virginity until you're married. They'll say, like, you know, they'll do an exercise. They'll give somebody a piece of gum, ask them to chew it, and then try and have that person give it to somebody else and be like, see, you wouldn't want a piece of gum that somebody already chewed. And that's supposed to be a way to get you to not have sex before you're married. So that's why it's called Chewed Gum. And we talk about purity culture. We talk about, like, you know, just sex issues in general, and it's a lot of fun. I really love doing the live show. I do that with a co-host named Eve, and she is really, really, like, I really enjoy her. I love her. I love her as a creator, and I actually followed her before we were co-hosts. So it was funny when this actually happened, and I was like, wait, I'm a fan of yours. Like, this is so fun. So I do that every Tuesday. There's one Tuesday a month that I'll have off, but Eve will take that Tuesday with a different co-host. So the show is there every Tuesday. And then what else? I'm doing a TED Talk on April 13th, and it's going to be at UC Davis, University of California. Davis, and that'll be really, really fun. It'll at some point it'll be on YouTube and I'll share it and all that good stuff. But for now, unless you live close to Davis, California, you know, you can't, there's not really that much you can do. But I'm excited for that because I'm talking about the history of women's sexuality, like the way that sexuality for women has been portrayed throughout history, and how that affected our ability to have conversations today and be open with our sexuality and all that good stuff. So it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. So that'll be really exciting, and it'll be cool to be able to like actually have a TED talk. It's actually TEDx technically. So I think TED talks are like, that's like very legit. And this is the only way that I can think of describing it. And TEDx talks are legit, but not as intense. Like schools can have TEDx events and like just apply to have a TEDx event and, you know, kind of like schedule their speakers and all that good stuff. Anyway, so that is happening in less than 2 weeks, 13 days ish, because it's on April 13th. Oh, well, by the time this episode goes live, it'll be actually less than 2 weeks. That's crazy, because have I booked my flight? No. Why? I don't know, because I'm crazy. I started doing one-on-one coaching. So that's been really cool to get going. If you ever have been interested in doing one-on-one coaching, now is your time to shine, because you can now book me for different types of coaching styles at different price points. And so that's been exciting to get going. And you can find all of that at alyssalube.net. The other project I have going on is, Passion and Alchemy, which is an online platform with the goal of women's empowerment. And on Passion and Alchemy, every single week, there is a post that is sex ed related. So I basically have been trying to build like a long-term sex ed like curriculum in a way. I feel like that's the only way that I can really describe it, but every month I'm going to have a different thing that I'll be teaching, and every week I will post that, you know, within that topic. So there'll be lots and lots to learn. I got glitter freaking everywhere. Oh God. So yeah, I love Passion and Alchemy. It's been a really fun project. Another part of it is the girl who co-founded it with me is an intuitive. And so she does like, you know, psychic readings and stuff like that. And I know people have mixed feelings about that, but I think as long as you're doing things with the intention of having it be fun and helpful, that there's no harm in things like that. But of course, do whatever you're comfortable with. So she also posts stuff about like how to grow your intuition and how to manifest and like that kind of a thing. So that's been very cool to, you know, experience and be able to look at her posts and try things as well. So that's been very cool. Okay, I can confirm that two layers of the chrome is giving the effect. It's giving the effect that I'm looking for. Okay. So Passion and Alchemy also has a section that is for movement. So it's a new movement every month, and it's a lot of different types of practitioners that we have on there. So some of them are like yoga type work, and some of them are breath work, and some of them are somatic practitioners, which is very exciting and a type of work that I really, really enjoy and I think is so beneficial. So like some of the stuff is just really fun. Like one of the posts that we had for this past month was hip circles and booty jiggles and doing those things in a way to try and release stored trauma in our bodies, stuff like that. And it's been a very healing experience. I wish I had more time to really sink in and enjoy all of the things that we're sharing with our audience, but it's, as you know, busy. So I haven't had, you know, as much time as I would like to, but it's been such a beautiful experience. And we're actually going to be doing an in-person event in May. So if you are in the New York area and you like those kinds of movement and spiritual type of vibe, this would be really fun for you to attend. So there'll be more details coming up on that as we plan and continue keeping that moving. But for now, we're in the very beginning stages of that. So yeah, I feel like that's everything. Passion and Alchemy, my coaching, the two podcasts, the TED Talk. I think that's everything. And of course, I'm always trying to be as consistent as I possibly can on my socials. And that's always going to be like an ongoing thing for me because it is ongoing. So yeah. Yeah. So that all of these things that I'm doing are just so exciting, and they're things that I really, really love. But it's definitely been a challenge to continue to balance all of it. So if you're in a similar place and you have a hard time balancing it all and you feel crazy bananas doing it, I understand very, very much. And I hope that you're finding some ways to stay calm and in control in the midst of all of it. And I was thinking recently how funny it is that, like, if I heard me explaining, like if I heard Alyssa explaining all the things that she's doing and saying like, wow, I'm really overwhelmed, my response would probably be like, yeah, of course you're really overwhelmed. You should probably have less projects, but also here are some really helpful things that you can do, like meditating and journaling and all that kind of stuff. So like, I know that, but it's so different to know it and to do it. And I always like kind of laugh at myself because I want to be a person who is quite literally practicing what I'm preaching. And most of the time I am, but when I'm overwhelmed, oh my goodness, all of my functions just shut down. Like my ability to actually do the things that I need to do to thrive and survive in the current circumstances. Like I'm like just like in survival mode, you know? So in a lot of ways, that's where I'm at. So it always kind of makes me feel silly to want to give people guidance and advice when I'm like, I am a hot mess. Although I will say the guidance and advice that I'm giving is like sex and relationship related. And I'm very blessed and lucky to have a wonderful relationship and a wonderful sex life, TMI, for my mom who listens to these occasionally. Oh God, you guys, it's just been a time. It's really been a time. I'm trying to think of some fun, like relationship and sex related things that I've learned recently that, would be interesting for me to talk about. I mean, a big one for me is I haven't talked about the process of me going off of birth control and what that has been like. I would like to. I feel like I just always have things I want to talk about and I kind of put this further down on the list. I'll give you guys kind of the maybe a little abridged version. I don't know, maybe I'm telling the full version, but I'll give you the update on that. So I've been on hormonal birth control, like the birth control pill, since I was like 16. And I had originally went on it because I was having ovarian cysts. And I had an ovarian cyst, maybe two, that had ruptured and it was extremely painful. I'll be honest, sometimes when I think back on that, I'm like, was that just gas? Like I think about that sometimes, but I don't know. I think I'm just gaslighting myself, which is stupid. So anyway, so I went on birth control when I was 16 and I've been on it since then. So, and since then I've also dealt with like a litany of mental health things. And, so when I decided about, when was this? Last summer, that I wanted to try to go off of hormonal birth control methods and do a non-hormonal method. The first step was obviously going off of the pill. And it was crazy. I lost 15 pounds in a month. And I wasn't doing anything different. So if you follow me on Instagram and you saw that there was like a before and after picture of me from going to the med spa, I think that there's a part of it that's very clear that like my entire face looks different, and it's not because I got lip filler, you know? So yeah, it's part of it was losing weight because I wasn't on the pill anymore. I felt better, but I also, it was weird because there were times where I felt better and there were times where I felt worse. It was like my emotions felt a little erratic, which was interesting. I also at that time was on the highest dose of Wellbutrin that I could take. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't feel great still. And I just didn't feel like I was that depressed. Like I was never so depressed that I was like a safety concern. And all of a sudden this medicine's just like not working for me. And that was clear. So I had pursued getting diagnosed for ADHD, and that process was kind of a pain to go through, but it was worth it for me because now I'm on a non-stimulant ADHD medicine that I actually feel good on, and I don't need an antidepressant, and I'm not on the highest dose available, and my emotions are up and down, I think just by the nature of you know, regular hormone changes and stuff like that. But I just feel like more in control of myself, which is a really cool feeling. And I have been able to work on a million different projects, which would definitely not be possible before. So those two things, those changes, like going off birth control, going on an ADHD medicine, made an actual world of difference to me as a 30-year-old lady. One of the things that's interesting, though, is my period is not regular anymore. And I don't remember it being irregular before I went on it. Again, I was 16, so my body was tolerating hormones for a long time, almost 15 years, which is crazy. It's been a while now that I've been trying to like acclimate my body and get it back to being regular in terms of periods and stuff, and it still hasn't happened. I'm still kind of irregular and it freaks me out every month, and I track my period on two different apps to make sure. But I will say I did try a multivitamin, like a supplement that is, it's a drinkable supplement versus a pill, which I like because I'm always dehydrated. So, or not dehydrated, but I just don't drink enough water. So I like the drinkable supplements. I tried one called Bond, and they did send it to me. I didn't pay for that first one, but I legitimately will buy it because I feel like my cycle is the most regular when I'm regularly taking it. I also have to tell you, in the vein of me being overwhelmed, in the time that I've been recording this podcast, it's been 25 minutes that I've been recording. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different groups or different text conversations that have messaged me in 25 minutes. And some of them have multiple messages. So what the hell? Oh my God. This is why, if you know me, there are times when, I answer my texts really quickly. And then there are other times where I legitimately treat texts like they are snail mail and I will get back to you in 3 to 5 business days. This is why, because in 25 minutes, 8 different conversations had messaged me. And all of them, I'm looking forward to getting back to, like, that none of them are like annoying to me, but it's just a lot. And like, just in general, let's just see how many texts I have right now. Is this a jerky thing to do? Maybe 128. So I would say, somebody also asked me about birth control this morning on a question box that I was doing on Instagram, and said that his girlfriend's personality completely changed when she went off of it and asked if that was possible, if it could be possibly due to the birth control. And my answer is that it's complicated because there's a lot of different factors that are involved. You can't just point to one thing and say that that's it, especially when like we don't have her whole health history in front of us. However, hormones are responsible for a lot of your brain function. And so it's not improbable that that's related. There is also evidence that shows, it's not overarching evidence from my understanding, it's survey work. So that's different, obviously, than like self-reporting and studies that are done with surveys, and which is self-reporting, versus studying the brain and things that are measurable in that way are different to me. So keep that in mind. But there is some evidence that suggests that birth control affects your mental health so much so that one survey that I was reading this morning, actually, they talked about how in a survey of, I think it was like 200 women, I think it was 58% of them felt that their mental health got worse. And of that 50%, a certain percentage of them already had mental health concerns, and a percentage of them did not. But it was a big group of them that felt that their mental health got worse. There was a small group as well. I think it was like 20 something, or no, I think it was actually smaller. I think it was closer to 11 or 12% that felt that their mental health got better. So obviously it has some effect on mental health. Whether it's negative or positive is greatly individualized. For me, I feel like I don't know that it got better or worse. It allows me to feel my full emotions. And I also just started to get a little concerned about being on birth control for long periods of time, because birth control and the hormonal birth control pill was invented sometime in the 50s. I'm going to double check exactly what year. 1960. So 1960, the birth control pill came out. And of course, no, it wasn't like there was huge groups of people taking it when the first year it came out. So we don't have, up until recently, we have not had research to show the effects of birth control over really long periods of time. Like, we did not have information about a big group of women, a big sample size of women being on birth control and the effects that it had being on birth control for, you know, 10 years at a time. So I started to get a little nervous about that, because there are some studies popping up here and there that are showing some other health risks. And so I'm in a committed relationship. I have a level of control and like, I guess, privilege in that way, because I am in a committed relationship. So I decided that this was a good time for me to just give it a try. By no means does this mean that it's not safe to be on the birth control pill, because like I said, it's all very individualized, and non-hormonal methods have a long way to go. Like, really the best non-hormonal method, in my opinion, is the copper IUD, but that process can be very scary for some people. It can be very painful for some people. There are other people who say that it felt like a tickle and they were done. So there's that part of it. There is also diaphragms and cervical caps, which you would typically use with a spermicide, which is a gel that helps to kill the sperm cells. And you kind of insert them like menstrual cups, and you have to also use the spermicide gel. Those methods are nice because it's not, you know, you can, it's whenever you need it, you use it. But I also am awful at pulling menstrual cups, or I've tried even discs. I'm not good at pulling those out of my body. So I'm a little nervous about doing that. I'm like, I just know myself. I'm going to end up flipping the thing inside out and getting all of it, all of everything everywhere. And it's not going to even matter that I even tried. But if you are good at inserting and taking out menstrual cups or menstrual discs, you could probably do a diaphragm or a cervical cap and be pretty successful with it. I'm fairly certain a cervical cap you have to get measured for. And I can't remember if I'm switching these up, but I'm pretty sure it's the cervical cap you have to get measured for at a gynecologist. Diaphragms, I believe you can buy just like over the counter. Sometimes they even have them in grocery stores. Not grocery stores, drug stores. So yeah, I've been on this non-hormonal birth control journey. I think I'm going to go with the copper IUD. And I had an appointment to get my copper IUD. And of course, the day of the appointment, I'm looking up like if I actually need someone to drive me, because there are some people who are totally fine after. And then I started freaking myself out and I was like, I actually probably should have waited for my mom to be around. I shouldn't have done this without her. So I canceled that appointment. Then I made another appointment and I accidentally canceled that one. So it felt like, I was like, what is going on? So I'm going to make another appointment and actually do it. And, I might film it and like put it on Instagram. I know that's TMI, but I feel like I want to share what that experience is like because it's so up and down for so many people. So look out for that. I'm sure it's going to be freaking crazy. There has to be a better method. This is a conversation that I see a lot of sex educators having right now because it is very frustrating to feel like non-hormonal methods are just really behind. Although there is a new method of birth control for men and it is currently in its testing phase. I think in the testing phases have decided that it is going to roll out at some point. I can't remember if it's that they got FDA approval or what it was, like what the result of the testing phase was, but basically they determined that it was a successful method of birth control. It's called Contraline. Actually, I guess Contraline is investing into the male contraception, but it is highly effective, long lasting and reversible. So it is an implant. That is exactly what I thought. It's kind of like an IUD for men and it's called Atom. And so it goes into a tube that transports the sperm called the Van's difference. And it's a little injection and it blocks the sperm from going down that little path. And then the sperm that are blocked will naturally degrade and become reabsorbed. So, and it's actually a hydrogel. And so over time, it will liquefy and kind of break down in your body. So, and it's non-hormonal. So this is really exciting. And I hope that this is something that we can get like rolled out really soon. Because it would just be nice to not have the women be the sole party responsible for birth control beyond like condoms. So yeah, we'll all have to keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. It's called Atom and it's by a company called Contraline. So I think it had done its human trials and that's what was successful. So, you know, we'll see. I'm really looking forward to that being something that's available to us because so many times when people ask me about birth control and this conversation comes up and they're asking about non-hormonal methods and, you know, at a certain point, it just feels like me and the other person are like, so there's nothing really that's like the option I would be looking for. And like, I don't know what to tell you. It's just hard. It's a tough thing. So yeah, but that's my experience going off of the pill and how it made me feel. And I would encourage you to do some research too, because we get prescribed the birth control pill I don't want to say flippantly because it is safe to use, but we get prescribed it very easily. And so I think when we are prescribed something so easily, we forget to look at the side effects and potential long-term effects. So I would just encourage you to take a look and just make sure that you are comfortable with everything that you are signing on to at that time. So you can do a little googly Google and find a whole bunch of stuff. And if you're interested in reading about this, there is a book called Your Brain on Birth Control. hopefully with every year that passes, there will be better options available to us, and we'll just see. We'll figure it out together, and I'll keep you updated as we go. I really should make a video about Adam and share that information on social media as well, because it is pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to that being potentially an option. Well, guys, my nails are done. Do they look good? Kind of. I don't know. And I have to get changed because I believe people will be getting here in about 45 minutes. And I want to also work on my TED Talk some more. So, and I have to keep up with my correspondence. What am I doing? So many messages. And it's just going to get louder and louder behind me. I hope you all are having a wonderful day, that your weekend was lovely and peaceful and not frustrating. Sorry, I'm such a Debbie Downer today. And if you ever have ideas of what you would like for me to talk about on these solo episodes, please let me know. I always say that, and I feel like not enough of you really give me the tea. You don't tell me what you want to know. And I would like to, you know, tell you exactly the fun things that you would want to hear. So, you know, you can message me on Instagram or email me or whatever, and I would be happy to talk about what you would like to hear. And I'll see you next time. I hope that this has been a little bit interesting for you. I love and appreciate everyone who listens to the podcast. It means so much to me. And I will catch you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, we are always accepting questions about sex ed, about relationships, life advice. We will accept it all. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email to alyssaexplainsitallpod@gmail.com.